Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing podcast, which is sponsored by KVH, the service which creates innovative connectivity solutions for customers on land, sea and air around the globe. KVH is a global leader in mobile connectivity, content and value-added services with technology designed to enable a mobile world and keep mariners always connected. To find out more, visit www.kvh.com. I'm Deputy Editor Caroline White, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Katia Damborski. Hi, Katia.
Hello, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me.
So what have you been up to?
Well, not a lot. I've been in the office most of the last week, but I am getting ready to jet off to Palm Beach. So very pleased I could join you for this podcast.
That's very exciting. It's a lovely show, much smaller and easier to navigate than Fort Lauderdale. Tell us a bit about your plans for the show.
It's my first show, so I'm not really sure what to expect. We've got a pretty busy press schedule and we'll have a lot of the members of the team out there. We'll be at stand SYV4 for any of our listeners who might want to come along, have a coffee, say hello. We're always happy to see some new faces on the stand. So please do come along. And as I said, we've got a big team out there, but those members who are not in Palm Beach will be at the St. Bart's Bucket, which is actually at the exact same time as Palm Beach.
Yeah, not ideal scheduling there. But those guys who are at the St. Bart's Bucket, including our editor, Stuart Campbell, are going to be having a spectacular time on board some amazing yachts. Katia, what have we got?
Well, I'm not sure about the full lineup, but we do have, I did see that the 59 meter Maximus, the brand new Vitters will be there, which is really exciting because we've been following the story for a really long time. And she was delivered, I think, just at the end of last year. And Vitters did say she was going over to St. Bart's Bucket. And now, yeah, she'll be having her kind of debut appearance and also her first proper race.
Well, that's exciting. There's also, I noticed on the lineup, we've got M5. She's a 78.4 meter, the biggest single-masted yacht in the world, a Ron Holland design. She's a 20-year-old boat, but she's still a stunner. And I remember reading a while ago that the owner described holding the helm at 22 knots as like flying on water. I think she'll be an interesting one to watch. And there's also Hetairos, another not brand new yacht, but a beauty. I know that at one point she recorded a speed of 25.7 knots, and she's designed by Dykstra for both long passages and racing, so a bit of a balancing act there. And then, as Katia said, couldn't escape our notice that entering the scene is Maximus, which is a beautiful, classic-looking, ketch-rigged performance cruiser with naval architecture by Herman Frears. It'll be interesting to see her race, and I know that the yard described her as a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh, yes, I've heard that one as well, actually. Yeah,
exciting stuff.
Okay, so cool. So that's what's going on that side of the pond. And then a bit closer to home, we had the Superyacht Charities Ball the weekend just gone. So I didn't go to that. I don't think you went to that, Caroline.
No.
But we did have a few members of the team there. We were the media partner of the event and it looked like a really, really good time. I was watching on our Boat International Instagram stories. And it's just such a great thing to get everyone together in this black tie setting, doing something good for the industry and just having a really nice time. It's a great networking event. Risa Merle,
yeah,
who our readers are hopefully familiar with, she's one of the most well-connected people in superyachting. She was there in full force with everyone that she knows.
Yeah, if you want to be introduced to somebody in yachting, talk to Risa.
And then there were some other events in the UK. So the San Lorenzo UK Immersive Experience, which was on St. Catherine's Dock. I feel like my whole team went to it and we all kind of upped and left at about 3 p.m.
So what was it?
Well, they've got a brand new, I think it's a SL90A down there. So she was recently delivered and then she's heading down to the dealership in Southampton, but they wanted to give clients the experience to see her in London. And I think the gist is they want to tap into the London market a bit more because yachts so rarely come up to London. And actually, it's a huge market. So if you can say there's a yacht right on your doorstep, why don't you come and take a look? Then I think that's a really nice idea, especially because the boat was very, very nice. I love the asymmetric San Lorenzos. I think they're really well laid out.
Yeah, me too.
And then they also had this like on land, you know, St. Catherine's Dock, there's like a little, I don't know how else to describe it, but a turret. And a while ago, it actually used to be an Azimut Cafe.
Oh.
And then it became something else. And then now it's used, I think, just as like a hosting space. You can rent it out. And San Lorenzo have rented it out and made it into kind of like a client base where you can come and have a nibble, champagne. I actually had some very nice champagne and also very nice nibbles while I was there. I was thoroughly impressed by the nibbles.
Good stuff. And the yacht?
The yacht, as I said, brilliant. Really, yeah. Really nice. Honestly, it has this like master suite in the very forward part of the boat, and it's split level but across three levels, so you kind of have the berth, and then behind that down is the ensuite, and then behind that down is a walk-in wardrobe, and it's really, really walk-in. It's like really spacious. I think the boat's 28 meters, maybe 27.6. So for that, I get all that those facilities, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah, they're making some really interesting boats.
Yeah.
So Katya, I hear there's something new on our social media scene, and you're young, you've got your finger on the digital pulse. I'm elderly. I sometimes walk around with my torch on my phone by accident. Can you please explain to me what a WhatsApp channel is?
Okay, I feel like our head of social admin is probably the better person to explain this one. But from my understanding, it's basically like news blasts that come to your phone from us at Boat International. So you sign up with your phone number, but you can't interact with anyone else in the group. So you're not going to be devolving into a conversation about which yacht's better than which other yacht. It's just so you can read the news, you can react to the news, and then you can also forward on really easily. So if you've got like a work group chat and you've seen a really interesting news story on our channel, you can just forward it on over there. And the theory is that obviously you're getting notified on it, so you'll get it much faster than other forms of communication. So we're really excited about it.
It does sound exciting. So to get on our WhatsApp channel, Katya, what do people do?
So they go over to the website. There's an article which we'll put in the podcast description. And in the article, there's a QR code. You just scan the QR code and then you have to kind of toggle the notifications on. They're not automatically on. Once you've done that, you'll get everything straight to your phone.
Great stuff. So back to analog, which I'm much more comfortable with. The April issue of Boat International is out now. And the cover boat is the beautiful pink shadow, which is actually an unusual shade of green. And she's an absolute stunner. She's an interesting one because her owner, Hans-Jörg Nader, is not interested in plain interiors. He wants character, but he does that in a very thoughtful way. So not just more is more. Pink Shadow's interior, which is by Design Unlimited, is inspired by the 1982 Werner Herzog film Fitzcarraldo, which, if you are familiar with that film, will be quite confusing. And it makes me love Nader a lot because this is not a pretty film. It's an interesting film. The plot is that this mad rubber baron gets a load of locals to pull a steamship over a big hill in Peru in the kind of Amazon rainforest as part of this convoluted plan to make enough money to build an opera house in Iquitos, which is a small city east of the Andes. So quite a crazy plot line there. And I would call the aesthetic of the film sweaty. The boat, however, is a beauty with a real sense of adventure, which is kind of embroidered into the decor. There's also this spectacular bar on the main aft deck, nicknamed the Tahiti Plage, with fold-down bulwarks and a hanging chair suspended from tender cranes. Absolutely stunning place that you want to hang out in. And that bar area won accommodation in the Boat International Design and Innovation Awards.
So I was doing some of the promotion behind this boat in our newsletter, and I haven't had to read the yacht report to kind of get a feel for it. And it mentions the film, so I obviously looked it up to try and work out what the connection was. Like, I kind of got it, but I kind of didn't get it because you're right. It's a very, very strange film.
It's almost like he was setting the poor designers a really, was thinking, what is the most difficult challenge I could give these guys? And he picked this incredibly obscure Werner Herzog film from the early 80s.
But am I right in thinking that it's on the rug in one of the rooms?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I can't quite remember.
Sounds right though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it does feel like you're going on an adventure, which is brilliant for a yacht like that, which is capable of doing some serious exploration.
Yeah. All right, so should we do our brokerage picks of the week?
Yes, let's do it. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I've just looked ahead at the script and found to my dismay that this boat has already been someone else's brokerage pick a few weeks ago. But that's fine. I'm going to go for it again. It is Ice Bear, the 52-meter classic Fedship. She's listed for sale with Burgess, and she's just had $1.55 million knocked off her asking price. So she's a 1988 classic Fritz de Voigt exterior. He also did naval architecture, and her interior is by Paula D. Smith and Associates in Design. So Cecile tells me that in the past she had this bright Barbie pink interior, but now it's this very dark, classic, but very beautiful interior, and she's actually on display in Palm Beach, so I'm very keen to get on board. She's asking a very reasonable, in my opinion, $9.95 million.
Yeah. So I think last time we covered her, when she was Cecile's pick of the week, she was $11.5 million. So bargain. I'm going to go for the classic 122-year-old motor yacht Madiz, which I'm probably saying horribly, but it's got a Z at the end, Spanish people. The oldest yacht in the world to have a Lloyd's classification. And she's 55 metres, one of a few real classic motor yachts from the early 20th century, still in excellent working order on the water. She was commissioned as a support boat for her owner's schooner, but at the outbreak of World War I, she was called into service by the Royal Navy. And after World War II, she was acquired by the British nobility and started her life as a pleasure cruiser in the Med. She features a combination of original features and modern updates, so a great one to take a look at. She is asking 9.75 million euros with VAT paid.
So similar price points there, and also both classics.
Yeah.
They're the same-ish size?
Mine's 55.
Mine's 52. So yeah, okay, all right. Yours, I think, is technically probably the oldest super yacht on the water, if she's the oldest yacht to have Lloyd's classification.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, and she's a very nice yacht, actually.
Okay, on to the news. So, Katia, would you like to kick us off?
Yes. So the first news comes from Netherlands. Dahlman Yachting has launched its second 53.3 metre support vessel in the presence of her delighted owner, Tommy Allen, who is a millionaire environmentalist, adventurer and entrepreneur. So he's named her Five Oceans, and the yacht will be a core part of his company, Five Oceans Global Solutions, which is an organisation dedicated to marine conservation, resource management and responsible deep sea exploration. A representative from the shipyard said, Five Oceans will be used to research life below the surface of our oceans, a topic and cause central to Mr. Allen's operation, and an important vision that we are honoured to be contributing with the Superyacht platform. So it's interesting, isn't it, to see another Diamond Yacht Support platform that will be used for something a bit different, like Anthony Shea's fishing fleet.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the Diamond Yacht Support vessel Gene Chaser, which is basically a floating lab for scientific research.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. What else is on the news agenda?
Well, the newly refitted interiors of the iconic 88-metre Perini Navi sailing yacht Maltese Falcon have been revealed following her refit with Lisbon. The superyacht has emerged with a new cinema room on the main deck, a Japanese-style dining room and an upgrade of technical systems, including more sustainable LED lighting and the latest Starlink Wi-Fi. She also underwent a hull repaint from black to Perini blue and received a new extendable passerelle, inflatable platform and a range of tenders and toys.
Yeah, so this is very satisfying for me because I went down to see her in Livorno when she was maybe two-thirds of the way through her refit. So I'm very keen to see the finished results. She was very dark before, lots of metal and carbon fibre. She's almost a bit industrial looking. And I think the refit has been designed to make her slightly more charter friendly, is my understanding.
Well, very exciting to see her finished. Should we turn to the Polish shipyard Konrad, which has some interesting things going on, Katia? Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, so they launched the second unit in their 44.3 metre C144S series, and she's been christened Extra Time. So this unit was sold by Denison Yachting in 2021. She features design by Raymond Langton and naval architecture by Dutch firm Diana Yacht Design, and delivery is scheduled for April 2024. I have a feeling that someone from boat will actually be out there to see the boat very soon in the next couple of weeks before delivery, so that'll be good.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, we loved the recent Konrad flagship Ace, and I think they're a really interesting yard. And also Polish yacht building in general, it's interesting how they're sort of turning from being a well-known sort of shipbuilder nation to super yachts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the launch was actually really impressive as well. I don't know if you happened to catch it, but it was like this full laser light show as she was rolled out of the shed, and she came from, I don't know how to describe this, but the shed was like quite high up.
Right.
So she was like rolled out and there's like, whoa, yacht, and then like lights all around.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, kind of thing. That was the vibe. Or maybe like a concert, like you're looking up, like, oh, you amazing. Know. Amazing. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some data for you. And since we've got Palm Beach coming up, we thought we would give you some data from the show. There are 121 yachts currently registered to attend, with a total LOA of 4,383 metres, and that's an average LOA of 36.2 metres. The average GT is 296, so not enormous, but decent, and 120 motor yachts and just one sailing yacht.
Interesting. Do you have any idea which size segment makes up the most yachts? Without looking at the script, Caroline?
No, I just had to pull my eyes away from the screen. It's bigger than flips. I would imagine the boats would be bigger than flips.
Yeah.
Not the smallest bracket, sort of 30 meter-ish.
That's right, yeah. So 30 to 40 meter. There'll be 44 yachts in that size category. But actually, it's not... I mean, it is a bigger show. There are bigger boats than in flips, but the 40... Sorry, the 24 to 30 meter category is at 43 boats. So only one more yacht in the category above it.
Just right. So yeah. That's what you're saying,
Catherine. Yeah, exactly. But you know, still right. Yeah. And only 270 meter plus yachts registered to attend. I think those are, off the top of my head, Victorious and Nero. But I could be wrong. Don't quote me.
It looked a little bit like you were making that up. So the main debuts at this year's show will be the Ocean Alexander 35 Puro, which is a world debut. Ancora by Mengeye, which is another world debut. And then we've got three US debuts. The Oceanic 143 by Canados. Stellamar, which we run in the magazine, beautiful yacht. That's a Cantieri Delle Marche, and that is a US debut. And then Mini K2 from Extra Yachts. That is the third US debut.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those this week, and also looking forward to seeing any of our listeners at the show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do come and see Katia at the team at the show. They are at stand SYV4, as Katia mentioned earlier. And I'm sure the boat team would love to catch up with you guys. Well, that's about it for this week. Thanks for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Adam Geist and Naomi Wilson, and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.